A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland online service. Today is Sunday, 17th May. It is the fifth Sunday after Easter. On behalf of the congregation, I wish to welcome all those who have been worshiping with us from other congregations. And to welcome especially today those who may be worshiping with us for the first time. Dear sisters and brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are assembled in God's name and presence to meet with him in our midst, in his holy word. We have come together so that in songs and in prayers we can worship God, bringing our problems to him and acknowledging that he alone can grant us that which we ask for our world and for ourselves. But first, let us prepare ourselves and examine our lives in silence. As we call to mind our sins and seek the grace of God, that we may come near to him with true repentance and faith, let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God and our first hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy help and salvation.
Lord our God, guide us that we may walk in your way, rejoice in your truth, and be kept forever in the life which you give, which is eternal. We thank you, dear God, for the rest of the night and for the light of another new day. We are grateful to you for the circumstances of our lives, for watching over us, for protecting us, for assuring us that you will be with us always. And we thank you especially that we can come into your presence this way to worship and to glorify your most high name. We ask, O merciful God, that you would accept our worship and bless us. God Almighty, we want to confess before you our sins this morning. The sins we have committed in what we have done and in what we have failed to do. Depending on your own goodwill, we come to you. Forgive us and remake us. O Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here.
From 1 Kings chapter 3, reading from verse 5 to 15. Solomon asks for wisdom. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him, and I have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child, and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern the great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. The New Testament reading is from James chapter 1, reading from verse 2 to 8. Trials and temptations. Pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Amen. Thanks be to God for the readings from his holy word.
Our next hymn, Yield Not to Temptation, for Yielding is Sin.
Thank you. Jesus, He'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, come with strength and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry you through.
Let us pray. Be with us, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in our prayers and in our meditations, and direct our way towards the attainment of salvation, that among the changes and chances of this mortal life, we may always be defended by your gracious help. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Think with me this morning on the theme, the value of trials. Our text begins with some very encouraging words for everyone who is facing challenges and difficulties, as we all are. My brothers and my sisters, consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way. I particularly like the way the New Testament for Everyone Bible puts it. My dear family, when you find yourselves stumbling into various trials and tribulations, learn to look at it with complete joy. In other words, you don't need to weep or lament when you face trials and tribulations, but instead rejoice, says James. That is a very bold exhortation, especially to suffering people. And I think we all want to ask James whether he really means what he says. Shall we rejoice when the going is tough and when the good things of life elude us? When sickness persists in our fragile bodies and our loved ones pass away, should we rejoice? When our relationships no longer work, or when we have become redundant because of economic meltdown, should we be rejoicing? Or when we face a global pandemic like the COVID-19 coronavirus that has brought untold hardship to many, is James asking us to rejoice? And even if we don't have any particular or individual problems, I think all of us are grappling with the trials that have come to us because of the current pandemic. The Institute for Advanced Sustainability Studies has produced an article on coronavirus entitled "The Wicked Problem of the COVID-19 Pandemic." It suggests that the outbreak of the new coronavirus will affect virtually every person on earth, either directly or indirectly. Many people will die of the infectious disease caused by this virus, and others will lose people close to them. Many more will suffer other extreme hardships, psychological, social and financial, due to the extensive physical distancing measures that are reducing the spread of the virus. While there may be some perceived silver linings, such as temporarily reduced air pollution and carbon dioxide emissions, and for some, an opportunity to slow down and contemplate their ways of living, in the balance, The effects are already tremendously challenging for the world and are likely to get much worse before the pandemic is over. I think, my dear friends, there is no better way of expressing how the current pandemic is adversely affecting our livelihood, because those insights and predictions indicate a grim situation and undoubtedly reveal we are going through a period of trial for which we need counsel and support. That is why James 1 is a very significant text, because James teaches that even if there are trials and tribulations in life, we should remain faithful. The text is very, very encouraging. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, or consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way. So there are many kinds of trials, but consider it pure joy when you face them. But the question is, why should we be happy when unpleasant things are happening to us or even threatening our own existence? The reason is because our trials are valuable. There is some value in trials. Now, the value of trials is that they test our faith and develop our perseverance or our capacity to endure. That is the meaning of verse 4, which says, make sure that your endurance carries you all the way without failing, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, we should have joy in knowing that our trials are doing some good. And again, what good are they doing? They are building in us a hang in there or hang on in there attitude, one which does not give up. Hang in there, and you never know what you might achieve. That is implied in the various translations of the word trial, which include perseverance, steadfastness, endurance, and patience. Trials and temptations build a maturity and a completeness in us. And these trials may be adverse circumstances, such as being hurt by a loved one, or bereavement, or poverty, or oppression, or the current health crisis, that have led to many other trials we never anticipated. When all these things come to us, James says, consider it pure joy, rejoice, because they fortify us and they give us the power of resistance. Now, dear friends, the classic Old Testament example of a saint being tested by adversities is Job. In a series of inexplicable disasters, he lost his wealth, his health, his family, the sympathy and fellowship of his wife, and the goodwill of his friends. But Job came out of his trials a wiser and a better person. The story ends with Job receiving his wealth back several fold, having another 10 children, and living for another 140 years. Our situation might not exactly be the same like Job's situation when we come out of our trials. But what we learn from the story of Job is that the trials we face are not mindless, senseless woes unleashed upon us by a cold and impersonal fate. They are permitted by a wise and loving Heavenly Father who is too caring to be unkind and too wise to make any mistakes. Satan was not allowed to touch Job at any time or in any way apart from God's express opinion or permission. Moreover, each time he obtained permission to attack Job, God drew the line in the sand beyond which Satan could not go. So the value of trial is to give us perseverance and to strengthen our faith and to give us that hang on in there attitude. And then we can be sure that God has not left us alone to face our difficulties. But then again, we need to trust God and ask for his wisdom to deal with our trials. The Apostle James assumes that most people find it hard to persevere under trials. And the reason is because we don't trust God enough when we come to him in prayer. We want God to do something for us, to keep us safe, to heal us, to help us keep our jobs or get one, to sustain our marriages and relationships, but we are not patient and we doubt his capability to help us. That is why James advises us that when we pray, we must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is thinking two different things at the same time. He cannot decide about anything he does. A person like that should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded person, and uncertainty looms large in his conduct. So double-mindedness is a major handicap or problem in our prayer lives. How do I illustrate this? Now, during times of trial, we often wonder why this or that is happening to us. That was the first thing Job did, and then cursed the day he was born. It was a question that Job's friends tried to answer for him, although their conclusions aggravated the situation and made Job angry the more. But when God finally answered Job, he did so with a series of unanswerable questions which centered on God and on the word who. With a new understanding, Job's attention shifted from his sorrows to God's sovereignty, and a new form of wisdom dawned on him: reliance on God rather than questioning the problem all the time. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need wisdom to deal with our problems. It is a mark of wisdom and growth when we stop asking why and start asking who in times of trial. That is, not concentrating on why bad things are happening to me or to us, because unpleasant events are part of a fallen world, but asking what God is trying to teach us at this time and how the sovereign power of God can be manifested through our trial. This is the kind of wisdom we need when the strong tides lift and the cables strain. And when we ask for wisdom from God, we must remember the absolute generosity of God and see to it that we ask believing that we shall receive what God knows is good and right for us to ask. If we lack wisdom to deal with life's turmoil, we will not know how to handle our problems when they arise. And who has not felt totally inadequate at times to deal with situations that have arisen? That is why King Solomon asked for nothing but wisdom. And with wisdom from God, he had all the other things he needed for his life and for his people. So the question this morning, where do we get the wisdom we need to deal with our trials? The answer is simple. We get it from the Bible. Much of the wisdom we need and for which we pray is to be found in the Word of God. Solomon wrote a whole book of Proverbs and pithy sayings full of the distilled wisdom of heaven for life on earth. The parables of the Lord Jesus contain so much wisdom, and then the Sermon on the Mount and the epistles are sublime. The Bible is full of wise counsel. It speaks authoritatively to all aspects of human life. It deals with our social life, our sex life, our spiritual life, and all the questions of life that we encounter in this passing world. So we need only to go to the Bible to find answers to the questions of life. So how do I finish? There are at least two things we can learn this morning. The first is the value of trials, which according to James should make us happy because they build our faith and help us to persevere and to develop that hang on in their attitude. And then secondly, is that we must trust God to deal with our trials and to seek wisdom from him to manage them and to understand that the answers to life's trials are found in the Word of God. So before I finish, let me ask you this morning, what are the particular trials in your life that you have brought with you to God this morning? Is it sickness that is persistent and has refused to allow you to live the good life? Is it sorrow because you've lost a loved one and have not been given the opportunity to give that one a decent burial because of the COVID-19 restrictions? Is it redundancy because of the economic meltdown and you're unable to feed the family? Or is it even the fear of death? Or some other form of insecurity? Or maybe you are frustrated because you seem to be a prisoner without a crime. You like going out and doing things your way, but you can't now because of the restrictions. And this is a time that is greatly distressing for you. But my dear friend, can you hear again the words of James? Rejoice when you face trials because they are giving us the capacity to endure, to persevere, and to increase our faith. My dear friend, have you allowed God to refine you through them, through your trials, and teach you some new lessons? Christian people can learn many lessons at a time of trial, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. For example, this pandemic is God's severe mercy. It forces us to look for meaning and hope beyond this world. We know that this pandemic is part of the cursed world we are living in, but it can and is being used by God to achieve his redemptive purpose. It is a trial that can shift our gaze from the broken glories of this world to the undying glories of the resurrected Christ. It can reorient our desires so that instead of yearning for worldly comfort, we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. This pandemic heightens our death awareness. We become painfully aware of our mortality. Yes, it's a confronting thought, but if we combine this death awareness with the gospel of the risen Christ who has overcome death, we can become more captivated by the resurrected life to come. When that happens, our demand for worldly comfort would be loosened. We will then realize in a fresh way that true life, meaning and hope isn't found in a successful career or well-decorated house, but at the foot of the cross. It's a hope that will sustain us, whatever this pandemic and other trials bring us. And then finally, the pandemic highlights the differences between the Christian and the secular responses to suffering. There is a key difference between the typical secular response to suffering and uncertainty and the biblical response. In the modern secular worldview, suffering, especially life-threatening suffering, is to be avoided at all costs. It serves no purpose. On the contrary, such suffering takes away from our life's purpose, which is to be happy and to be comfortable. And so, in this view, avoiding suffering, even if it means hoarding toilet paper at other people's expense, is a rational response. But in the Bible's view, a Christian's suffering serves a higher purpose. Yes, my friends, suffering is painful. The Bible does not deny that. But it's a key way God achieves his purposes, namely to make us more like Christ. That goal gives meaning and purpose to our suffering. And so Christians can lean into suffering. We don't have to fear it. We don't have to avoid it. Instead, we can use it for the opportunity that it is to glorify and to serve others. And that's a much better way to respond to the unfolding pandemic around us. My dear brother, my dear sister, you will have many kinds of troubles, but when these things happen, you should be very happy. Rejoice, because you know that these things are testing your faith. And this will give you patience. For this is the value of trials. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise, O God, because you are always more ready to teach us than we are to learn. We thank you for your great word this morning, that we can even rejoice in our suffering because it gives us the capacity to endure. Father, give us such faith that we may glory even in our challenges and seek to know you more. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, All to Jesus I Surrender.
To this. Let us bring before God our prayers of dedication. Living God, you have given us life and breath and all that we have. Through our offering of praise and monies, talents and time, we dedicate ourselves to you, all that we have and are, so that your kingdom will be fulfilled here on earth. Amen. Now, let us pray for our world, the church, and ourselves. God of all creation, you are mighty and invincible. You hold the power and the majesty of the universe in your hands. Yet, in our many personal trials and tribulations, you remain closer to us than the air that we breathe. Give us the strength and perseverance to fulfill your will in our lives. Uphold and restore our faith at times when it is challenged, when doubts, fears and anxieties prevail. Heavenly Father, you are a God who gives generously, to whom we can freely and faithfully submit our prayers and petitions, knowing that you will hear all and respond accordingly. God of power and might, your broken world cries out from the darkness of the pain, the suffering and uncertainty brought about by the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. Be present to all who need your loving touch, and may they feel your power of compassion and healing through the dutiful care of the doctors, nurses, paramedics and ambulance staff, who selflessly work on despite the dangers of contamination and the risk of infection they themselves face. Take away the fear, anxiety and feelings of isolation from people receiving treatment or under quarantine. Protect their families and friends, and bring peace to all who love them. Give us all a sense of purpose and fulfillment in pursuing self-distancing measures and protecting others from the exposures to the disease. Lord, inspire and invigorate the scientists and research teams developing tests to diagnose the virus, create vaccines to prevent it, and identify protocols to eliminate the disease's seemingly unhindered global spread. We pray for all those living with non-COVID conditions, for whom surgery has been cancelled, treatment suspended, or diagnosis and prognosis delayed. Comfort and console them. Enfold them in your all-embracing love and give them your peace and reassurance. Lord, we give thanks for all the essential workers in our communities, for their dedication and resilience to maintain a degree of normality in our daily lives. All those involved in food production and distribution, our farmers and supermarkets, members of our armed services, delivery drivers, postal workers, refuse collectors, surgeries and pharmacies, telephone engineers, and everyone who has volunteered to assist in any way, all committed to maintaining the very fabric of lifestyle that we have become accustomed to. We also give thanks for technology, the internet and online platforms like Zoom, and the skills of people to harness it, allowing your church to continue its witness to your name and glory through virtual services. We pray for the many who have joined us today, both local and from further afield, and in the coming days as they view our uploaded recording on the church's website. We pray for all those who have taken leaflets from our Try Praying banner site. Lord, you know who they are and the reason behind them doing so. Be ever close to them in their time of need. Heavenly Father, our worship is different, but our calling remains the same. May we continue to be a people of acceptance and belonging, a people of welcome and inclusion, where all can feel at home, albeit virtually, a church family bound together in your love and purpose. But outside, times are not normal, Lord, and we think of those who have succumbed to the coronavirus, the bereaved, their families and loved ones, unable to say a final goodbye or join together as a family to attend the funeral and recognize the attributes of a life well spent. Heavenly Father, be with all those who have lost a loved one in such harrowing circumstances, and give them your peace, your complete, consoling and comforting peace. Loving, consoling and comforting Father, we pray also for Amos and his family in the Cameroon, and in particular his father, who, because of ill health, could not attend the funeral of his sister. Lord, encapsulate the family in your love and compassion and give them your peace. We pause to reflect on the ongoing and deepening conflicts throughout the world, in Syria and the Middle East, in Yemen and in the Cameroon, areas torn apart by racial or religious prejudice, hatred and violence, fueled by suspicion, jealousy and greed, and all ultimately leading to a worsening humanitarian crisis. God of peace and reconciliation, bring a lasting outcome to these conflicts. Instill in the warring leadership a greater awareness and understanding of one another's shared needs, the benefits of resolution, compromise, and harmony. We pray also for the farmers and people of Kenya, Somalia, and Ethiopia, where they are experiencing a second surge of locusts, which are destroying their already ravaged crops and will inevitably result in poor harvests, food shortages, and widespread famine. May neighbours and the peoples of the world hear their pleas for assistance and provide food and funds to stave off such an impending disaster. Lord, we share the pain and the anguish of those who have had to flee from their homes, countries, and livelihoods, at risk of their lives, desperate for a new life of opportunity, free from fear and war. May they feel your strength and power, and know the truth of your promise, that the earth and its peoples will never be overcome by the darkness and desolation inflicted by the worst of human nature. We pray for Elizabeth, our Queen, Prince Philip and members of the royal family, for our Prime Minister and the devolved First Ministers, members of Parliament, our regional and local councils. Lord, give them wisdom and discernment in their discussions and decision-making, and a desire to act rightly and justly to the benefit of all they represent. We give thanks for our victory in Europe's 75th year celebrations, and acknowledge again the sacrifice made by so many to guarantee our future in peace, free from the tyranny of war. We ask your blessing on our armed services today, as they continue to serve in both conflict and disaster zones, defending peace and bringing about much needed relief. We pray also for our police force, as they continue to uphold the law of the land in such unsettled and troubling times. And now, Heavenly Father, in a moment of silence, we bring before you those we name quietly within our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers and bless all we have brought to you this day in name or situation. You alone know and can provide their needs. God of love and hope, renew in us a deeper sense of who we are in you. Help us to be aware of your presence each and every day. Make us instruments of love and praise. May our words, actions, and lives be living examples of your forgiving, healing, and life-giving love. Amen. And now we join in our closing hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Find the solace there in his arms. Oh, in his arms will take and shield me. Thou will find the solace there.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen.